Welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Coops will bring a message entitled, Were You at the Parade? Based on scripture found in Luke 19, 28 through 44. This is Beth Coops inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Message, but maybe they're just doing the appetizers. I don't know, but this is pretty exciting. What a special Sunday to come together in God's house.
Palm Sunday,
the first day of Holy Week,
a special time, a time of celebration. And yet, when you think about what our Savior went through, just a horrible time,
and that He did that in our place. And that's why we're here today,
to worship Him and to praise Him and to lift up His name. And this, of course, is the start of the Holy Week. And next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll come back here and celebrate the holiest day on the church calendar, Resurrection Sunday. But Passion Week comes first. If you're visiting with us today, we greet you. We're glad you're here. We hope that you're blessed through this service, that you feel really welcome, that you experience warmth and hospitality. And besides all that, I hope that you also feel that your souls are fed, that you just really experience Jesus in a wonderful way, and that He touches you as only He can do that. We also invite you to stay for a time of fellowship right after the service. It's right through those doors. There's coffee and cookies, and there's also on the way to the coffee and cookies, there's a guest book. If you're kind enough to sign that, we would like that. Address, phone number is really helpful. And then enjoy some time together around the refreshments and giving us also an opportunity to get to know you. If you're joining us via Jethro Radio or on the internet, that's jethro.fm. And now we also are on YouTube, so that's live streaming. And sometimes people still get some CDs. But whatever way it works, we're just glad that we can reach out in this way and share the good news of who Jesus is and how He renews and transforms lives. And we hope that you're blessed through any one of those means. If you're able to join us in person, and if you're hearing this through some electronic means, consider this your personal invitation to come and be part of our church family here, Clyde Park and Burton. We meet live time, 9:30 Sunday morning. Would love to have you be here. And then as Palm Sunday, we have the branches, we have the cloaks, the cross looks good with the purple on it, and I hope that all helps prepare your heart for this season. Our call to worship is a responsive reading. I'm going to ask you to turn to your hymn book. It's number 298, and immediately after the call to worship, we will go to sing 297, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. So I'm going to ask you to stand already for the call to worship as well. Call to worship, 298, then right into 297, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. It's a responsive reading. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. As He went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. When He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowd that went ahead of Him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and as we sing these praises, it's just a foretaste of when we will be in your presence for all of eternity, worshiping you, praising you, lifting up your voices in sweet accord, because you are worthy. You alone are worthy. Our prayer is that through the power of your Spirit, you will touch each one of us as only you can do, that every part of this service will honor you, glorify you, praise you, and that we'll be blessed through it. And we'll be equipped, too, for the journey of life, and especially in this Passion Week, that we will stay focused on what you did for us so that our lives have purpose, meaning, and hope, not just for now, but forevermore. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
choir, and thank you, Paul, and what a beautiful song, and on a day like today, all hail Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is just a wonderful name for Jesus because it means God with us, God with us. And what a great feeling to know that he is here with us always. Lord willing, we will celebrate communion Thursday night. So this is already an invitation to come back Thursday night. At 7 o'clock, we'll have our Maundy-Thursday service, which includes communion, and would love to have you be part of that. I think it's really important as you go through Passion Week. Obviously, you're here for Palm Sunday, but also to celebrate in a real meditative style, Maundy, Thursday, and then Good Friday, to be able to really embrace what happened on Easter Sunday. You really can't go from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday and skip Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. So I just really invite and encourage you to make this part of your week. Having said all that, we're having communion Thursday night, and so I'm going to read the preparatory form, but the preparatory form leads into the congregational prayer, so I'm just going to give you a couple updates on our church family before we start the form. And these are the few updates that have changed since the bulletin was printed. Bob Noteboom was discharged from Metro Hospital, and he's at the Health Bridge for continued rehab. And so he's making progress and thankful for that. Arlene Wiseman's son, Bob, is making really good progress. And he was already discharged from Mary Freebed this past week, and he's recovering at home now. We praise God for that. Jenny Benedict had another tough week, was at Trinity Hospital a couple days ago, but not admitted, is back home, and this all related to just intense pain. And so we want to keep Jenny and Ron in prayer. And then I just talked to Larry Dreyer, and he told me that Mert fell, broke three ribs, but she's here. What a trooper. And we're going to remember Mert in prayer, too, and for healing from her broken ribs. And then we extend our condolence to Sue and Tim Takema in the passing away of Sue's mom, Carol Cucci. And she passed away April the 10th, so that's last Thursday. At this time, all arrangements are pending, but do pray for comfort and strength for them. We'll now turn to the preparatory form. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to celebrate together, with the gracious help of God, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this coming Thursday, Maundy, Thursday. Our conscience, instructed by God's law, rightly declares us unworthy of this gift. We find we have neither loved the Lord our God of all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. To examine our lives is to confirm that we deserve exclusion from this royal banquet, indeed from God's presence forevermore. Yet, this is God's feast of love. It was in love that Christ gave himself for us. When we were unworthy, Christ made us worthy. When we should have justly died as punishment for our sins, Christ freely paid our penalty, dying in our place. Christ has become our complete righteousness. Therefore, our self-examination must not end in despair. We are called to trust God's work on our behalf, to receive the gift of forgiveness offered us in Christ Jesus. Our reconciliation to God is found in trusting this good news, that before we chose God, God chose us. We are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared in advance for us to do. Partaking at the Lord's table is not an act of virtue. The table is prepared for those who humbly trust Christ alone and find in his death, resurrection, and ascension their only peace. Though they often fail in their efforts, those who thus approach this table will desire to please God, conforming their lives to God's purposes. Rest fully assured that when God finds such contrite trust and godly intention, he will forgive all of our sins and make us worthy partakers of this heavenly kingdom. Let us pray together as we confess our sins, and then we'll move right into the congregational prayer. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and one another in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and in what we have left undone. So our prayer is, Lord, that you would have mercy on us, and in your mercy forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, all through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who gives us this promise that our gracious God forgives us our sin, strengthens us by the Holy Spirit, and will keep us in life eternal through his death, resurrection, and ascension. So, Father, on this Palm Sunday, as we stand on the threshold of Passion Week, give us courage and the desire to go with you, the Lord Jesus Christ, to Calvary, so that we can also celebrate the empty tomb and our hope of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We can only marvel that you, Jesus, would call this suffering the joy set before you so we could be redeemed. You also invite us to the communion table this Thursday as the Passover meal became the Last Supper. Dear Jesus, prepare our hearts so we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray for all those for whom the Easter story has not been life-changing. Melt their hearts, we pray, so that they too can be part of your joy. Since you are our sole provider, it is fitting that we should give you thanks for everything, for our nation, our leaders, our servicemen and women, our work, our homes, our families, our health, for life itself. We also want to say a special prayer for folks dealing with physical needs. We pray for Bob Wiseman, Bob Noteboom, Dan Rotman, Dave Conrad, Joanne Emus, Floyd, Dan Leuk, Donna Miller, Jerry Loschutz, Betty Holmes, Doug Pueller, Ron Osteich, Shirley Lohman, Renee, Michelle Strading, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Tootie Calamine, Larry Rudnick, Amber Olson, Tina Shaver, Helen, Tim C., David Shaver, Dave Huvelhorst, Marilyn Blankenberg, Arvilla DeVries, Joanne Sleeth, and Mert Dreyer. And Father, we know there are other people too. They got appointments scheduled this week. They got consultations. They're waiting for test results. The decisions have to be made what to do next. Our prayer is that your spirit will always be present to give people comfort, strength, and wisdom in these situations. We pray for those who struggle emotionally, those who just deal with depression, anxiety, a host of emotional issues, others dealing with addictions. And then we pray for the prisoners. And Father, today we want to remember in particular Carl Alquist, as he's just made this transfer, a new environment again. We pray for lots of grace for him too. We think of Phyllis Blodgett and Lorna Borderwijk as they reside in nursing homes, assisted living. And we pray, Father, for others too, for whom this isn't a day where they can get out and about, but where they can participate in worship because of the one they belong to. Pray for our families, the relationships you've given us as husbands and wives, parents and children, extended family, people we work with, people we do leisure stuff with. Help us to do our relationships well. Help us to be able to be loving and kind to one another. For us, it's really not even an option. You have instructed us. As you have loved us, we are to love one another. We pray for those who are grieving. And today we remember in particular the Carol Cucci family and the passing, in Carol's passing. We pray, Father, for her husband, Alvin, as this really changes his life. We pray for Tim and Sue and all the other family members. May your grace be sufficient and bring comfort and strength, because our hope is in you, the one who is the resurrection. Will you have mercy on our land, Lord? May there always be room for the truth of your word. And in this Lenten season, 1 week to Easter Sunday, may your story and your glory shine forth as a light in the darkness around the globe. We pray for Maasai Outreach Mission in Africa and say a special prayer for Josh Sullivan and his family, a missionary in South Africa who was kidnapped as he was preaching. We ask, Father, that you give special grace to his family as they wait, but also for him. Will you keep him faithful and will you protect his life? We ask for your continued blessing on 8th Reformed and her ministry. Thank you for your presence at the consistory meeting yesterday, and may we as a congregation, as a church family, always remain faithful to the authority of your word. Through your spirit, may we also be able to shout, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And let this one be our Savior and Lord, who has complete ownership of our lives. We offer this prayer in his name, the one who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing from number 270. And what would be a great song for a parade? What better than Joy to the World, the Lord has come. So we're going to sing 270 verses 1, 2, and 4, standing to sing. Nice to have the Engels back too. We prayed for them a number of times through the winter. I'm glad you're back, and also put you right to work already. Ron must have known his name was in the rotation for today. Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke 19, and we'll start reading at verse 28. It's page 1497 in the Pew Bible. Page 1497. Luke 19, starting at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, and that's a parable he had just taught. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." May God add his blessing to this holy an inspired word. Dear congregation, we all live by the calendar. We put stuff on our calendar so we don't miss the doctor's appointment or the cleaning lady coming over or getting a haircut. God also has a calendar. It's actually a really large calendar. It contains all of history. Even though God himself is outside of time. And one of the terms that God uses is the fullness of time. Sometimes this is referred to as God's perfect timing. And there's some examples. When Christ was born, what do the scriptures tell us? They said it was in the fullness of time, God's perfect timing, when this happened. Now the triumphal entry. This Palm Sunday is another fullness of time. Jesus' time had come, and wouldn't you know it, it just happened to fall on the start of Passover week. What a coincidence. During Passover week, Jerusalem was an extremely busy place. Passover had become a week-long feast. You know, this goes back to the days that the children of Israel were in Egypt, oppressed. They were slaves, and this is the last of the 10 plagues. And through Moses, the people were instructed, you have to kill a lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost of your house, and then when the angel of death comes over the country this night, if he sees blood on the doorpost, you're going to be safe. No blood on your doorpost, the firstborn of the people and of the animals will be dead. That's why it was called Passover. If your blood was on the doorpost, the angel of death would pass over. Passover was really the biggest event as a celebratory time in the life of the Jew. But this particular Passover, the one we just read about, is filled with irony. The Jews were celebrating their exodus from Egypt even as they are oppressed by the Romans. They're thanking God for freedom from 1,400 years ago, even as the great liberator, the Son of God, is walking amongst them, and they do not recognize him. The scripture we just read is often titled the Triumphal Entry. A common word would be a little parade. Now, prior to the triumphal entry, a lot had been going on. Jesus had been busy teaching. The last parable he taught was about the 10 minas. And then before that, he was socializing with tax collectors. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead, and that was a pretty big deal. And because of the Passover, the crowds in Jerusalem were huge. People everywhere. And all this was expected. What was unexpected was this spontaneous parade that formed. It just started. And we all like parades. We like the Rose Bowl parade, the Thanksgiving Day parade. We have our own little community parades. We enjoy this. But for Jesus' followers, this parade on this day was bigger than anything that had ever happened. This was so big. This was like one of their dreams was being realized. Jesus was finally making his move. They'd been waiting for this. And you know, he sent two disciples into town. We read that. They get the donkey, the colt of a donkey for him to ride on. Jesus is the main float in the parade. Maybe he's the only float. But the people had waited so long for this. They knew it would happen. They just didn't know when God's perfect timing was going to be. And this is it. Because for those who knew their Bible, this is Jesus the Messiah. They just know it. They just know it. The scripture is being fulfilled before their very eyes. It couldn't be a better time to be alive than right now. For these people in Jerusalem. The scripture I'm referencing is Zechariah 9, verse 9. I read it to you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. They would know this passage. Daughter of Zion, that's who they are. They live in Zion. The next line, see, your king comes to you. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. That's them. They live in Jerusalem. And now look at this. Your king with righteousness and having salvation. How much evidence do we need? Gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. All the pieces fit. This is exactly what they have been waiting for. It couldn't be any better. This is a great, great celebration. Now, we acknowledge that a conquering king would come back riding a stallion. But if a king rode on a donkey, it was a sign of a ruler coming in peace. It also was a good sign. And now with Jesus as their ruler, as the king, their leader, they're going to throw off these oppressive Romans in no time. And so they shout the right words, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. That was so spontaneous. This is what they'd waited for. And it's here, this day. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Jesus coming to bring peace. Oh, yeah, it's all coming together. Remember those words from Luke 2? 33 years earlier, the heavenly host saying, glory to God on the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men on whom his favor rests. What a day. True, Jesus came as a peacemaker, but this was not his victory lap. He came as a king, but his kingdom was not yet. What a contrast in agenda between the one who rode the colt and those who were on the parade route. What a contrast between the one they were shouting to, praising God and waving their branches, and what was going on in their hearts. And then it's like something went horribly wrong. Many of you remember November the 22nd, 1963. It was an impressive motorcade through Dallas. There were lots of people shouting and waving, little flags, big flags, the excitement, the noise. JFK and Jackie smiling and waving, good spirits. And then suddenly something went horribly wrong. Up to this point, the parade into Jerusalem had been going really well. But then, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, when he saw the city, he wept over it. He wept over it, grieving, heartbroken. What a sudden change. Why? I'm going to share three reasons with you. First, he wept over Jerusalem because the people didn't get it. Read verses 41 and 42 with me again. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." The Messiah, riding into Jerusalem, the only one who could make a difference, and they didn't recognize him. Oh, they said the right things, but they missed the message. See, they wanted a real king. They didn't want a suffering savior. They wanted a ruler, not a servant. They wanted relief from the kingdom of Rome rather than usher in the kingdom of God. They missed the point that he came to liberate souls, not empires, to deliver from eternal judgment, not temporary oppression. He was coming to destroy sin and death and hell. They just wanted relief from Caesar. Two different agendas. I read the words again. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. If only. How often don't we use those words, if only? I should have. I wished I would have. If only they would have accepted him as the Son of God, as the Savior. But now, in their rejection of him, he saw what was waiting for them. Read with me verses 43 and 44. Jesus speaking, "The days will come, will come upon you when your enemies," that's the Romans, "will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They'll dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They'll not leave one stone on another." And this is such a key word. Because you did not recognize the time. Because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. This is about 33, 34 AD. In 70 AD, the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans under Titus was one of the most brutal sieges that ever happened. It was just horrible. And so, yes, Jesus, knowing all things, wept over Jerusalem. And today he still weeps. He weeps over Tehran. He weeps over Beijing. He weeps over Jerusalem. He weeps over Baghdad. He weeps over Amsterdam. He weeps over Tokyo. He weeps over New York. And he weeps over Grand Rapids. He weeps over Granville and Jenison and Hudsonville and Wyoming. He weeps because he sees a nation that squeezes him out. He sees cities where there's violence in the street and in the home. Abuse between husbands and wives and parents and children. He sees schedules that are too full, that don't allow time for him. He sees the hatred and the violence, the brutality and the carnage. He sees alcoholism and drug addiction, sexual promiscuity, pornography, abortion, and euthanasia. He sees all races created in his image that can't get along, and ethnic groups that won't cooperate. He sees people in churches who profess they love each other, but they won't show it to each other. He sees lives in deep despair and hopelessness. He sees empty hearts filled with ache, and he sees the loneliness. Can you hear him say, "Oh, Wyoming, if you, even you, had only on this day known what would bring you peace." As a nation and as a community, we tackle many problems with more money and new programs, never admitting it's a sin problem, the hardness of our hearts, something only Jesus can cure, and he's been rejected. He weeps. He weeps because he loves us. And he knows he is the only answer. As we try to fix things with duct tape and crazy glue. Secondly, Jesus weeps for himself. Never forget that he was divine, but he was also human. Now, sometimes we think, oh, I just wish I knew what the week ahead held. I just wish I knew what was going to happen. That would be so cool. Jesus knew what the week ahead held, and he wept. Remember Isaiah 53, it was last week's sermon. He knew that this parade was just the beginning. In a few days, there would be another, do I dare call it a parade or procession? Again, he would be central, carrying a cross. No adoring crowds. He knew the beating, the humiliation, the pain, the rejection, the suffering that was waiting for him in this Passion Week. He knew he would be beaten beyond human recognition. Betrayed by one disciple, denied by another, abandoned by all the rest, and worst of all, forsaken by his heavenly Father, where he would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? To be left alone to pay the price for the sin of the whole world. And yes, he prayed. If there was any way out, if any way to avoid this, oh God, let that happen. And he knew there was no other option. And he went through with it because he loves us. And because he knew all this, he wept. Thirdly, Jesus weeps for us individually. Think about who was in the crowd that day. People he had healed. People he might have fed with the bread and the fishes. People that he had spent time with, maybe in their homes. People that he had forgiven. People that he had befriended. People who were all excited about a parade, but for the wrong reason. Maybe Lazarus was even there. People celebrating his physical life being restored, yet missing the one who restores the soul. Perhaps Jesus sees the faces of the silent ones, the ones who never speak on his behalf. Are the faces of those who resent his celebration, the ones who hate him, the ones who are threatened by him. They hate him because he upsets their lifestyle, the jealous ones and sometimes the religious ones. He knew that some of these same people would be shouting, crucify him, later in the week. How fickle people can be, how quickly we can change from hail him, to nail him. He sees the Romans. The Romans were seen as peacekeepers, but they didn't recognize the King of Peace. As he looks at us today, is he weeping? Is he weeping as he looks at us? When he looks at your face in the crowd, what does he see? A loyal, loving follower? Or someone who sings his praise today, but during the week is part of the crowd that yells, "Crucify him, crucify him." Oh, we might not say that, but by our words, other words, and by our actions. Is Jesus weeping for you? He knows you by name. He sees right where you're sitting. Right where you're sitting right now. Maybe you're joining us and you're in your car. Maybe you're at home. Whatever way you join us, he sees you. He knows you by name. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows where your mind is at. He knows the pain in your heart and what's distracting you from being totally committed to him, fully surrendered to his lordship. It can be a host of things. It can be success, money, jobs, health, family, girlfriends, boyfriends, anxiety, boredom, fear, grief. Or maybe I just want to do things my own way. And there's not room for two rulers in my life. Maybe he weeps because he sees us gathered here in the sanctuary to commemorate the Lenten season, singing, "All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King." But in reality, living a personal life that has an agenda so different from his, is he allowed to really be the Lord of our lives? Never forget, Jesus weeps because he loves us. But if we reject him, one day we will be the ones weeping. We will be the ones weeping in a place called hell, and there'll be no turning back. Palm Sunday. Start a holy week, a week of suffering. Will you suffer with him as you remain loyal to him? I plead and invite you, for your own sake, participate in his suffering. Participate in the events of this week, from Palm Sunday to Maundy Thursday to Good Friday. Don't skip the day of crucifixion, the worst day of all. Be a dedicated follower of Christ in your prayer time and your devotional time. Don't avoid the hard times, the suffering that the Savior went through for us. For Easter Sunday to be special, for it to be a victory celebration, we cannot skip. We cannot skip what falls between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. We need to stay with Jesus. He suffered all of this for you and me. He didn't do this for himself. He didn't do this for any other reason than that he loves you and he loves me. To save us, he could not bypass the cross. To be saved, we can't either. Father, we come to you this morning, and we know these are somber messages, but serious stuff. There's nothing more critical in our lives than to know that we belong to the one who suffered in our place. We're grateful to know you loved us enough to weep over us and to suffer to the point of death in our place. It's so humbling. And all we can do is worship you and praise you and thank you and surrender our lives to you in such a way that you are Lord of our lives. And so, Father, my prayer is that you would use this message in any way you see fit. If there was anything in it that did not honor you, would you delete that from our minds? But for the rest, would you imprint it on our hearts with indelible ink so that we would have unrest until we find our peace in you, the Prince of Peace. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. We'll continue worshiping God by singing number 300, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, standing to sing. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just sung with enthusiasm, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." That's even much bigger than we can really measure. The greatest blessing, the greatest gift, of course, is your Son, whom we've come to worship and praise and celebrate and honor and glorify. Thank you for that relationship you have given us in Him. And that's also what moves us then to be good stewards of what you have entrusted to us and to share our gifts with those in need and the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 299, "In the Name of the Lord." Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance towards you and grant you his peace, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
Broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. If you'd like a CD of one of our services, call the church office during the week at 616-452-9417, and we'll be happy to send you one free of charge. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.